Hello, everyone. Welcome to Clickbait and Cauldrons, an actual play D&D podcast. This is our sixth episode and is part of a series we like to call Module Madness, where we play through different campaigns made available by the game designers of Dungeons & Dragons. The current campaign we are playing is The Dragon of Icespire Peak. This is one of the introductory campaigns to D&D, so hopefully listening to this inspires you to play with your friends. This series features myself, Michael Alcote, as the Game Master, and Bryn Jones as the player. Bryn plays two tiefling siblings, Mervyn and Ellerin Bloodbane. I play all other characters throughout the game, although most notably Holgo Firefist, a half-orc druid and a member of our party. Last we left off our protagonists, they had just returned to Phandalin after finding a suitable home for Mandy the Manticore and ensuring that Adabra Gwyn, the local apothecariist, was safe from the danger of the White Dragon. The crew now returns to Harbin Wester to get another task that they can go on. When talking to him, he tells our party that there might be some more secretive quests that he had been holding on to until the right party shows up, and he leads us into his office. Where will our heroes be headed next? Find out in this episode of Clickbait and Cauldrons. Into his office, and you see a job board similar to the one that's outside, but there is a couple more jobs that maybe are a little more secretive than what you might have seen outside.
That's so spicy.
And so here you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can see 5 new quests on the board here. What does Holgo... No. Well, Holgo is played by me. So Holgo is just going to follow Mervyn and Ellerin's lead. And what does Mervyn and Ellerin do? What do they do?
Is this the kind of... Sorry, for our audio listeners, we have these little quest cards. Is this the kind of thing we see on the board?
Sort of, but they're like papers. They're okay. They're less... of obvious cards. They're like,
yeah,
they're little just like sheets of paper.
I'm with you. Like, I'm with you. Yeah. Wow.
So what do you think of some of the quests that I've got for you?
I think we're not bad on money for now, so it's not just that we're going for the biggest gold. I think that's okay. So originally I think we're looking at the biggest gold. This is Merv speaking. This is Merv thinking. We're going... What's the opposite of third-person omniscient?
Third-person limited?
Yeah, we're going third-person limited. This is Mervin's thoughts. The gut reaction, right, is to go for the most gold because that's what he's there to do. He's there to take care of his little sister and stuff. But we've heard tell of this danger, of this potential draconic danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think... the whole point of getting all this money is to protect his sister and to keep her safe.
Right.
So I think while reading through these, his eye catches on the Nomengard quest, which for the listener, part of it says the gnomes of Nomengard are known for their magical inventions. They might have something with which to defeat the dragon. And I think that gives Mervyn pause.
Okay.
And so, Mr. Wester, sir, tell me about this Nomengard.
Nomengard is kind of a place where there's a whole bunch of rock gnomes.
Sure.
And it seems like they have an idea of what might be able to help us a little bit. But I do know that there's a high level of magic that happens in the Nomengard area, so I just want to make sure that you guys are aware of that before you guys head out there and do anything.
Oh, I don't think you need to be too worried about us.
Well, that's good to hear, I guess. Well, I guess you do have two spellcasters?
This
is asking in character. This is not me asking as the DM. I know.
No. I just wanted to see what Ellerin could do. I forgot. For our listeners at home, I've chosen for Ellerin's path to be arcane trickster. I think that makes a lot of sense.
And it's fun.
Yeah. What is Harbin Wester wearing?
He's in like a tunic that has like a leather thing over it, but not much. Like if you think of what Shakespeare looks like in most pictures, he's kind of wearing that except without the weird neck ruffle.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ellerin would like to cast Mage Hand and give him a wet willy.
Oh, ew, what? I've seen mage hands before. I've never had them wet before, though. Is this one just naturally wet because she's a gross little kid? Ugh.
It's sticky. It's got that gross child stick that's ew. Like all over the gross ew. Little hands all the time.
Gross. Okay, so you guys, do you guys
actually want to go on the, go over to Gnomengard to see what the rock gnomes have in store for you?
Hell yeah!
So you guys head out, into Phandalin, where it's still daytime, all that kind of stuff. And there's a couple of things that I want to share with you all. So as you're walking out of the town, you actually give me a perception check.
Okay. Oh, geez. That's a 16 from Ellerin.
Okay, and what about from Merv?
Six.
Oof, okay. Okay, so with that 16, you can see a young white dragon flying down close to the edge of town.
Toward the edge of our town?
The town that we're in? Phandalin.
Phandalin, the town that we're in?
Phandalin, the town that you are in.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez! She says, and she's just going to act immediately to try to, like, yank her... I'm not sure exactly where on the map we are. I don't know if we're near a tree line or in the middle of buildings.
So you guys are in the middle of town, and the dragon has kind of just landed in a field outside of town, in one of like the farmer's fields outside of town.
Okay.
What do you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, I think we want to generally move towards it, but perhaps like at a diagonal so that we can stay like under cover of, you know, alleys or trees or whatever the setup is.
Okay, give me a stealth check then. And I'll give one for Holgo.
Oh, sick. That is a... Boop, boop, boop. Oh, geez, I have to roll at disadvantage. I have to write this all down.
Why do you roll at disadvantage?
Because Murray's wearing a breastplate.
Okay. What did you roll?
Not the worst thing considering disadvantage, but Mervin rolled a 12 and Ellerin rolled a 22.
Okay. Well, Holgo rolled a... Let's see real fast. He rolled a 7, so...
Jeez, bud.
Jeez. But with elves, you guys can make it over to... where the dragon is. How close are you getting to the dragon?
Yeah, what kind of cover do we have? Like,
You have cover of like buildings, of like some broken buildings that are on the edge of town and stuff like that.
Is it just building field? Are there any
building field with like some like small like field walls, like farm walls, kind of like stone, I guess. So you could have half cover by standing, but full cover if you're like kneeling down. But I would need to have you guys roll another stealth check if you wanted to approach the wall closest to the dragon.
I don't really want to do that because I've got disadvantage on stealth checks.
Right.
So let's just what can we see from the... I'll make a perception check, but what can we see from where we are sort of huddled in the buildings close to the edge of dragon?
So you can see that the dragon is kind of moving his... So, like, dragons have long necks.
Mm-hmm.
And this young dragon is kind of moving its head around close to the ground, almost like a hound kind of trying to sniff out something to eat. It looks hungry. And you can see a little further into the field is that there are a few cows that are out in the field. But it seems like that these, like, you would know that these cows are kind of somebody's. Like, these cows are obviously owned by somebody who owns this farm. So what do you do after you can see him kind of skulking around and smelling, but he hasn't noticed the cows just yet?
My gut instinct is to do nothing. You know what I mean? Because are we three level four people prepared to combat a dragon in any way? Oh, I could minor illusion something. Let me get creative with it.
I believe in you, so.
Okay. I would like to... I foresee us going on a bit of a hero's journey here and solving this problem this way. So I think Mervin doesn't have a reason he needs to fight yet.
Okay.
And Ellerin, as mischievous as she is not dumb. And so I would like to minor illusion a... Here, you can tell me, can you minor illusion sense? Because you can minor illusion sights and sounds. Can you minor illusion sense?
I would say no. However, Holgo can druidcraft smells.
Okay, I'll be like, Holgo. You know, like in cartoons where there are like stink lines of delicious scents, and then the cartoon animal like sort of floats and follows their nose. Like,
right.
Yeah. Go right now, right to the cows. Do some of their meat stink towards the dragon.
So you want Holgo to... I'll do this in character. So you want me to, as a druid who is the protector of nature and animals, you want me to make cow smell to get the...
The good stink.
The good stink to get the dragon away from us. Is that what you're saying?
Holgo, let me tell you something. From the day we arrived on this planet and blinking stepped into the sun,
I don't know where you're going with this.
More to see than can ever be seen and more to do than can ever be done. I don't understand why, this is the natural food chain, my guy. My absolute guy. I don't understand why you want to disrupt the natural predator-prey dynamic. I don't, are you saying, sure, that all animals should be vegan? Because that sounds like problematic
for me. No, I agree with you. It's just, I don't know if that'll solve our problems at all. That's what I'm saying, is that, I think it would eat the cows and then come towards the city. I think we would be better off scaring it away somehow than just feeding it so that it knows that there's food here.
Hey, Holgo, what kind? You have druidcraft, and do you have any other what you got going on?
Holgo, I'll just read you some of his spells. He has guidance, shillelagh, thunderclap, druidcraft, absorb elements, earth tremor, entangle, long strider, speak with animals, heat metal, thunder wave, and moonbeam.
Is there anything that he wants to do? Because I feel like my bestie is a little bit more equipped as someone who has earth tremor and thunderclap and all of these things. I feel like scaring a large animal is definitely something he's a little more qualified to do than I.
Yeah.
What kind of things scare dragons? What are dragons scared of?
Dragons aren't scared of a whole lot. They're mostly looking for food, and food and stuff like that. So they're not super afraid of kind of the people.
Right. I don't think we're going to create anything. I was thinking more along the lines of like, if we could simulate some sort of natural danger, you know what I mean? Like if this is some creature who is normally flying around mountaintops, we could like, you know, simulate natural avalanche, something like that, that doesn't necessarily scare it, but, you know, notifies that instinct of I shouldn't be here anymore. Like I should take off.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing about it is it's like, since Holgo is a Circle of Wildfire druid, he has a lot of fire spells.
Right, but he has Earth Tremor, right?
Yes, he has Earth Tremor, but he also is mostly casting fire spells.
Yeah, okay. So how about we do an Earth Tremor and I'll Minor Illusion some, like, deep mountain rumbles.
Okay.
Some, like...
Well, that would be, like, a Prestidigitation, not a Minor Illusion.
Yeah, I can Minor Illusion sounds. Right?
That's too big. I would say that's too big to be a Minor Illusion. To scare a dragon, I don't like just logically that doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. God, I have offensive spells, you know what I'm saying?
Right. And maybe dealing him some damage. This is Holgo. Maybe dealing him some damage might scare him off from here, cuz I don't think he would want to be somewhere if he's getting hurt.
Yeah, okay. All right, buddy. We may have to, like, take a nap before we go to Nomengard then, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Okay. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, sure. Mervin's gonna cast...
I like how Merv is just hyping himself up.
Yeah, all right. No, sure. No, cool, yeah. Great. Boom, both hands out, cloud of daggers.
Cloud of daggers, ooh, okay. Can you, since you guys are stealthed up, you guys are gonna get a surprise round on this dragon. Can you describe cloud of daggers to me?
I absolutely can. Is this my first second level spell using?
I think so.
Fuck yes, dog. Okay, so I'm gonna mark down here that I've used it. You fill the air with spinning daggers in a cube 5 feet on each side. And of course I would like this centered around the dragon head.
Okay.
Centered at a point you choose within range, a creature takes 4d4 slashing damage when it enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there. My idea is to force it up, to spook it by having knives appear around its face and spook it.
Yeah. Okay, so you cast that. I'm not gonna have you guys roll initiative for this surprise round. What does Elle do?
Yeah, she's a whole round, so she is going to attack. She's gonna take fire shot with a short bow.
Roll for that.
Oh, cocked. 13 plus 5. 18 to hit.
Ooh, hits. Okay. Roll damage.
Sorry, gang. We didn't record for a month and I forgot how to play this game. 5 plus 3 is 8 damage.
Okay.
And my turn's not done.
Oh, okay.
Actually, wait, can I do my... I'm so sorry. Can I retcon and do my bonus action first?
Sure.
Bonus action first. It's time for Ellerin's first spell. I'm so excited.
Ooh.
Okay. Ellerin emerges from the shadows next to this house. And this kid is full horror movie child that sings the fucking lullaby. You know what I mean? That classic horrifying trope. Mm-hmm. So she's going to go ahead and ring around the roses and then hex.
Hex? Okay.
Hex.
What does hex do?
You place a curse on a creature you can see within range. Until the spell ends, you can do an extra 1d6 necrotic damage to the target whenever you hit it with an attack.
Okay.
Also, choose one ability when you cast the spell. The target has disadvantage on ability checks made with that chosen ability.
So what ability are you choosing?
I'm going to choose dexterity.
Okay.
So now the dragon has disadvantage on all dexterity checks and saving throws.
Cool. What else? So that was your bonus action, right? That what was, do you do on your action?
That's my bonus action. And then I would like that short bow strike to count as the action. But now since I have hex, I'd like to, from my 8 short bow damage, I'd like to add another d6 for necrotic damage.
Okay, then add that d6.
Boom, that's a 6, baby.
Okay, so 14 damage to this young white dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he screams out in pain. I mean, like, necrotic damage is no small thing for any being, really. Mm-hmm. And it says,
he says, why have you hit Cryovane? What are you doing? Who is this?
Oh, it talks. Oh, I should have said. Ah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
Dragons can speak common and draconic.
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry. No, I didn't know that. The player didn't know that. I would have approached this the same way I approached Mandy.
Well, it is a different... I just made you not metagame then, so...
No, I know. But I should have... Now I've learned I should have done a history check to know what dragons are like.
Okay, so then he kind of reels back a little bit, and then Holgo is going to cast...
Is he? Because now he heard him speak. Can Holgo... try to be political?
He can't really do anything that's like political, really, or like to tell him just to leave or whatever. So what he's actually going to do is cast Moonbeam.
Cringing at
which is a second level spell. And so a silvery beam of pale light shines in a 5-foot radius, 40-foot high cylinder centered on a point within range. Until the spell ends, dim light fills the cylinder. When a creature enters the spell's area for the first time or starts a turn there, it's engulfed in ghostly flames that cause searing pain, and it must make a constitution saving throw. It takes 2d10 radiant damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. So I'm going to roll this con save for the dragon. And he rolls a 16 plus 7.
Oh, jeez.
So he passes, but will still take... where is the d10? How much is this? 9 plus 7 is 16. So he'll take 8 damage. We're not going to roll initiative because the dragon is now headed out on its way, and I'm going to have you roll 1d6, 2d6?
For what?
For the Cloud of Daggers. Because he's moving out of the space.
I would like to roll initiative, please. Can I?
Sure.
I want to see if I could dispel it.
Sure.
I would like... Oh, I don't have good initiative.
Okay, so I rolled an 18 and a 13.
I didn't beat either of those.
Okay. The 18 is the white dragon, and the dragon is going to go first.
Okay. I'd love to free action speak to the dragon. And
sure,
be like,
you can absolutely speak to the dragon.
We were defending our home. We were just trying to defend our home. Well, we don't live here, but that's what I'm just going to say because, you know, just to try to make it, I don't know if it under, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be too complex.
I simply came to feed, but now I see that this is not a place safe for dragons.
Oh, jeez.
I will be heading out now.
And then he takes a full dash action. To get away from the, he takes a full dash action to get away from the space, but you do need to roll damage on the Cloud of Daggers.
Yeah. Plus... What's 5 plus 7?
12. 12 damage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he takes 12 damage kind of as he comes out. He's his head hits some of the daggers as he flies up and flies away, flying over town and towards the mountains. Mm. And you guys are now out of initiative. And you have now scared him away. So what do you guys do? You guys still have a couple things that you can do in town before you head off to Gnomengard.
Yeah, can we... Oh, man. I don't know what to do about this dragon, dog. Like, he hasn't hurt me. He hasn't hurt me or mine yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, at least I kept my sister safe. Let's get some healing potions.
She did more damage than you did.
Okay, not by much, okay?
So what do you do? What are you guys doing in Phandalin before you head out? Besides obviously taking a long rest, yeah, which is totally fine.
Health potions?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys can buy some potions of healing.
Yes, please.
We can't sell potions of greater healing yet. So I don't remember what the lady sounded like, who we saved. Do you remember what she sounded like?
No.
Okay. I'll just do a weird voice then. Why thank you for heading over to... No, hold on. That was bad. Hold on. Let me restart that.
No, it wasn't bad at all. The thing I liked about it is that it sounded like she was singing.
Yeah, that's she's a singer, actually. It. I'll just do that.
Oh my God, I love that.
Why thank you for coming to the apothecary.
Everyone loves it when singers do that.
My
God, Ariana. Ari.
What kind of potions can I get you?
Potion of healing, please.
Okay, so how many potions of healing do you want?
One each, please.
Okay, so I need to look up how expensive
potions are. They're 50. Well, if we're going by like traditional rules, they're 50.
50? Okay. Yeah, they are going to be 50.
Nice. Already done.
Other things that you can do in town. This is still the lady. Thank you for saving me from that manticore. What else can you guys do in town? I'm just making sure. I don't think that there's much else that you can really do.
Let's take a nap and head to Gnomengard.
Yeah, yeah. So do you guys camp or do you guys go to the inn or anything like that?
Remind me how much the inn costs.
The inn costs like 2 silver.
Oh, 2 silver?
Yeah, it's cheap. Oh. Especially with how long you guys are going to be there for.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
You just get one room.
Holgo can do literally whatever he wants.
Holgo is going to go, he says, well, I'm just going to be out in the forest because it's free and I can also just druidcraft up some vines for myself.
Honestly, though, I remember we had a great time when we camped in the woods. So let's go camp in the woods.
All right. Well, let's head out. So you guys head out on the... miners trail out of town into a little bit of a forest, and you guys rest up after your hard-fought battle. Mm-hmm. Battle in quotes with Cryovane.
I should write that down.
Cryovane, the young white dragon that has been terrorizing the Sword Coast. And so what you guys do is you guys just have a long rest, really, and then you head out to Gnomengard, right? That's where you guys are heading first?
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys head into Gnomengard after taking that long rest. Do you guys do anything during that long rest, or do you kind of just sleep and then head out as soon as you can?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to narrate, if we want to narrate any role play, any part of that, we can. But I don't. I think the main idea of it is just.
If you don't want to, we don't have to.
Nah, we can just sleep for exactly long enough to get our sweet, sweet spell slots back. We don't even need to heal. We don't take any damage.
Yeah.
Just gonna get those bad boys, those spell slots back, and head out.
Yeah. So you guys follow a small stream as you head into the Sword Coast Mountains. And in the Sword Coast, and in these mountains, you see a small gnomish, place. You can see a bridge that's kind of covering in front of a large waterfall. And at the base of the stream, at the base of the mountain, where you can see this kind of carved out natural concavity, and there's this roaring waterfall that creates clouds and clouds of mist as it plunges into a shallow pool of water. And there are two small islands in this pool of water, covered in 2-foot-tall red, green, and purple mushrooms. Several cave openings overlook the pool from rocky ledges 20 to 30 feet above. The mountain blocks any direct sunlight from hitting this place, but you can kind of feel that it's the light is soft and reflecting off of different parts of the mountain. It's not dark
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you can see that there are a couple of cave entrances kind of surrounding this pool of water. So what do you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd love to just, you know, nature check for these, see what these mushrooms are about.
Sure.
And I'd love for Holger to do it too. I imagine he has much better nature than we do.
He has pretty good nature. but he has bad intelligence, so.
Great. we got 11 and 7, so.
And we got a 6. So. Oh
boy.
Not much.
How much we can tell about those? We have one person who beat a 10.
Yeah.
Can they immediately tell, like, oh, that's a poison death shroom? Or like, oh, that's the one from Mario that makes you real fast.
I'm looking real fast. So you guys can see, looking at these mushrooms, that there isn't anything magic about them. That they are products of magic, but they are not magical in of themselves. And that you can kind of see that there are some mushroom stalks that have been cut.
Oh.
Like here and there. It's not like everywhere, kind of. It's you can tell that these have maybe been taken and used as certain like spell components or food and stuff like that, or just like resources that the gnomes use them for.
Okay. How far away? Maybe like 30 feet or
they're about 15 feet away from the shore.
Perfect. Ellerin, hand out horrifying child with her creepy magics. Is just gonna mage hand out and pick up about a couple pounds worth, maybe. I don't know how big these are.
What colors do you want to pick?
All three of them.
Okay. So these are pretty big mushrooms. So that's like probably just 3 mushrooms.
they're
huge. They're like
a pound a piece.
Yeah. They're pretty
All right, big. So she'll get, if they're a pound a piece, she'll get 3 of each.
Okay. So you take about...
If they can, well, I don't know how big mage hands are. She can get as much as she
can. I think mage hands can carry like 30 pounds or something like that.
They can carry 10 pounds. But 10 pounds? I don't know how large like the physical hand is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She could stack them real good.
Yeah, I always kind of picture mage hands as, hey, I guess, did you ever play Zelda?
I played the one Zelda game that you lent me.
Okay, never mind. Cousin It?
Well, it's Thing, but yeah.
Thing, yeah, sorry.
No, it's so good. When we watch Addams Family Values, eventually, you won't get them except anymore. Excellent movie.
I kind of always picture a thing kind of just crawling through the sky.
Oh, awful. I love it.
Not necessarily... if you've ever played... I don't know. It's, like, big. It's big enough that it could probably take 3 at a time. So, like...
Okay, well, can she... She made 3 trips.
Yeah, it's a cantrip. You can use it.
Well, if she's making a bunch of trips, you can kind of get as many as she wants. How many can fit in her little grubby pockets?
I would say about what you said 3 earlier. Three each.
All right, let's get to 3 each. And can we walk? What? So I don't know how this is sort of set up. Can we see behind the waterfall?
You cannot see behind the waterfall.
Can we walk to either side and see behind the waterfall?
No, you are... So the waterfall is kind of sunken back into this this kind of cave-like area. Mm-hmm. And you can see that there's a bridge in front of it, but that the cliffs are too high off of the ground to, like...
A bridge in front of what?
Of the waterfall. So there are two entrances on both sides of the waterfall,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a bridge connecting those two entrances to cross
the water.
In front of the waterfall.
Okay.
But as Elrin uses her mage hand, give me a perception check. Merv, give me a perception check.
Merv, give you a perception check.
With advantage.
Oh. With it, I mean, I don't need it.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense. Sick. Perception, 19.
Okay, so you kind of notice that around this mage hand, the air almost has I was gonna say static energy to it, but mm-hmm. like it glitters a little bit around this mage hand. It's not the typical like glitter of El's magic that you see. Mm-hmm. El's magic has a kind of typical color that it would have. She hasn't used it before, but you could tell that it comes from her kind of essence, her arcane feeling, I guess, right? This is different. This is kind of this like yellow poppy, like different kind of things. It's what some might say is wild.
Mm.
Did
she have to roll a wild magic check?
No, not yet.
Okay.
That's
only on spells, right?
That's only on spells of first level or higher.
All right.
But you specifically saw it around these mushrooms.
Oh.
So
if we keep them. Whoa. I want 100%. I want all of us to get one set of all three and put them in our pockets.
Okay. Yeah, Holgo has an easy time doing that. He can just grow them.
Oh, sick. Wait, you can grow these?
Yeah. He's a druid. He has druid craft that he can just.
What are they then?
They're just normal mushrooms. There's nothing in particular about them.
Holgo, can you do me a solid and arcana check these sparkles? And hey, Ella.
Yes.
What kind of vibes are we getting on these? I got a 13 was the highest, and it was Merv's.
I don't really notice anything. I mean, I do see these sparkles, but there's not anything that like seems out of the ordinary. Especially, I always feel kind of a magical presence in the woods. And in nature, so this is nothing out of the ordinary for me, really.
Does a 13 tell me anything about these mushrooms and their wild magics?
You can just tell that they were grown by magic and that they continue to grow by magic.
Oh, that's cool.
And like that there's a magic source maybe continuing to grow these.
Okay.
But nothing that you necessarily have to worry about. Just yet.
All right. Let's go up to a cave.
Okay. So you guys head up to the nearest cave, which there's a short little path that kind of leads your way up.
Let's go in. Let's rock and roll, my friends.
Okay. Let's head on up there. And then with Elle's permission, he kind of scoops her up and puts her on his shoulder. If she's cool with that.
Absolutely not. She wants to be able to, she needs to be able to make her own stealth checks.
Fair.
He goes to scoop her and she flips over his arm like it's uneven bars.
Mm-hmm.
Does a backflip. She's going to do an athletics check.
Acrobatics check.
She's going to do an acrobatics check to make that. Fuck no. It's a 13.
Okay, so she doesn't do a very good job, but he helps her land a little bit. She's going to fall backwards, and he kind of stops her from falling backwards.
I keep trying to do these flips. I want to be a little gymnast. Scamp. A little scamp. But man, I roll really badly on my acrobatics. I have a really good acrobatics modifier.
You head on into the dining room of this little... I guess as you walk in, you can kind of tell that the entrance that you guys have just gone in through is the dining room for the rock gnomes that live here. So it's their opening. It's like their... It's the opening to their place. So
they sort of live in like a dorm room? Like what's the vibe in here?
So the vibe in this specific room is there's just a wooden cabinet and there's some dishware and stuff like that.
Is it like a single dwelling?
It's a very large cave of multiple different things. But yes, I guess they all eat communally is what I'm saying. Okay. Is that like... It's a community, but that they all kind of come together for their meals and stuff like that.
I gotcha. I just wanted to make sure we didn't walk into someone's kitchen.
No, gotcha. No, you didn't. So what do you guys do? Do you guys announce yourself as you walk into this gnome area, or do you not? Because there is no door. You are simply walking into this gnomish residence. Gnomish community, I guess.
Can we hear anything? I eat people.
You can. Give me a perception check.
Oof, duh. I might need new dice. These are nasty.
Are they the new ones or the old ones?
Both of them are rolling very poorly today. The better one's a 10.
Okay, yeah, you guys hear some kind of pots and pans in another room, not too far from where you are. It's probably a little ways, and there is a door. So the room that you're in currently, there's a table and there's a cabinet in here, but you don't see anybody in here. But you can head, there is another hallway that you can enter as you go in that can lead to a closed door. What do you guys do once you get to that closed door?
Okay, so in this room there's one exit to the outside, one exit to a hallway.
Yes.
With closed doors and pots and pans rustling. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's just walk towards the voices.
Okay.
Are they in like a dining room type deal, I assume?
They are in a kitchen. Well, you guys walked into a dining room.
I thought we walked into a kitchen.
No, walked into a dining room. You can tell that the room where all this noise is coming from is a kitchen.
Okay. I would like to, before we enter the room, I want Merv to sort of like fully on the door frame as they...
Okay.
As they round that corner.
So as you...
I don't necessarily want to spook people.
Right, so as you knock on that door, you see a... You see a little gnomish woman who kind of has some... I was going to say schmutz on her face. She has some kind of like ashes and stuff that's kind of up in her face with her hair kind of pulled back in this... this like white hair, white bun, almost like her hair is white and she hasn't pulled back in a bunch since she's doing stuff and has some kind of ash and different stuff and coal on her face. And she holds a little poker. She holds a little poker as she opens the door and says, "Oh, what are you guys? I haven't seen very many people around here. Well, welcome in." What are you guys' names?
I think that Merv is very used to people sort of prickling. I think all three of them are probably pretty used to people prickling at their appearance as a half-orc and two tieflings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look particularly friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're both very good at playing. I can't speak for Holgo, but I think that both of the tieflings are very good at playing the role of like angel child, you know what I mean? Sure. Sort of like compensating for that.
Yeah.
So I think Merv puts on his like sweetest, kindest face and scoops Ellerin up, who looks like full Puss in Boots from Shrek, just like huge like eyes. And he goes, "Hi, I've been traveling with my friend here and my little sister, and we heard tell of some of the great inventions of Nomengard, and we'd love traveling and seeing new things, new people. So I'm Mervin, and this is my little sister Ellerin, and this is our friend Holgo." And
hi.
And we would love to sort of just check out your deal here, explore the city a little.
Sure. Well, welcome in. You know, we are happy to have guests. We haven't had guests here in quite a while. Obviously, come on into the kitchen. I see you already saw our dining room, since that's the only way you can really get into here. And so she kind of leads you into the kitchen, and Holgo has to duck his head since he's 6'4" or whatever, and this is made for gnomes. So the ceilings are about, I'm going to say 7 feet tall. No, I'm going to say 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
So Holgo is kind of like always making sure that he can't, like, he's not hitting the ceiling, but he definitely could if he like stood straight up.
Mervin's doing the same motion, but he doesn't need to.
And so she introduces herself. She already introduces herself as Joy Bell, but introduces Dimble, who is using a complicated press-like contraption to squeeze oil out of a big red mushroom and filter the liquid into 4 oil flasks. Panana, with a P, and she stands on a low table and is mechanically using a rolling pin, kind of almost like a rolling pin invention that she's made, and is kneading bread. And you can see that there are severed caps of green mushrooms all around her. There's Up and Down, who is a male rock gnome who is forming this kind of kneaded dough into loaves. And his tongue is sticking out as he's so focused on what he's doing, sculpting these things. And then last, but certainly not least, is Turva Round. And she has a little stool, and she's stuffing mushrooms into a barrel.
Which mushrooms?
Purple mushrooms. What maybe Holgo would know as wine, is like a wine barrel. I don't know about the other two since they're both kids.
100%. What kind of children do you think these are? These are rapscallions. I don't know how to portray that. Of course they do.
And so what you guys, so Joy Bell, who's kind of leading the thing as everything's going in on there, she's leading the charge of these gnomes who are working in a line. Rock gnomes, have both of your characters give me a history check on what they know about gnomes.
Oh, baby, we're back. Baby, 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 we're back. That is a 21 and an 18.
All right. So you guys can definitely know that gnomes are known for, A, their inventions, but B, known for their kind of processed thinking. So they are often working together, working in like an unassembly line to get things done. And so you guys can tell that these rock gnomes are working in an assembly line to make the food for tonight's dinner. And so Joy Bell says, "Oh, well, sit down. Do you guys want some bread or anything like that? It would be, it's an honor to have some new guests in here. We haven't had very many guests in here recently. You guys said that you are here for to learn more about our inventions and stuff like that?"
"Absolutely."
"Okay, well, I mean, we got kitchen inventions here, but I don't think that's the kind of inventions we're really looking for."
"No, but it's still tell me a little more about your cuisine. What are these mushrooms about?"
"Oh, well, those mushrooms, they're magically grown, really. We didn't start growing these mushrooms. They were kind of here when we got here. And we really just kind of want them. We kind of use them for a whole bunch of different things. So the green ones we can break up into flour and make them into bread, into this green bread that you can see here. Mm-hmm. The purple ones are really good as wine, but they're kind of fruity. What is the other one? Sorry.
I think they're red.
And the red ones are, they don't taste very good, but they do have good oil. So we kind of use that for cooking and lamps and all that kind of stuff. We're trying to be as sustainable as possible around here. She then kind of says, well, I don't know about what exactly you guys are looking for, but we do have a workshop that's a little further into our caves, but you guys are welcome to go visit it and stuff like that. The last time we were here, we didn't really see, well, the last time we had visitors, they were kind of, pretty mean, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, they were just some orcs, who got pushed out of the mountains, really, and, maybe some ogres, too, I don't know, they look pretty similar, they're related,
How does Holgo react to that?
Holgo is just like, he's just nodding his head. He knows. But he also knows that he's in good company.
Yeah.
So he's not super worried about...
Like, well, I was more wondering how he felt about the, you know, orcs and ogres kind of look. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was, like, insensitive to say.
No, he's pretty used to people talking about orcs and stuff like that. Because he knows orcs are, by nature, violent.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually what he does is he casts, he says, all right, everybody step back, please. And so there's a little fire here. And so what he does is he summons his wildfire spirit and, Bree kind of rekindles the flame in the gnome's fire, that they had going just to cook and all that kind of stuff. And then the fire spirit kind of floats on over and sits on his shoulder.
Oh, that's very sweet. Just question. So Dimble was the one who was futzing with the oil, is that right?
Yes.
And what is he doing with that oil?
He's kind of... If you've ever seen, like, olive presses...
He's just sort of pressing...
Yeah, he's pressing the oil out of these.
And they're using the oil and the green mushrooms to make dough?
They are using the oil from the mushrooms, yes, to make dough.
Mm-hmm.
But the green mushrooms can be ground into flour.
Right. But so, like, those two things make the dough, and then the purple makes the wine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
but the red oil, it can also be used for other things too. So they can use it for mechanical purposes as well as cooking oil.
But I'm saying, like, if we get bread that would have both red and green mushroom in it, essentially.
Yes. Okay.
Sure. And water and stuff like that. We could not just take something. I mean, we're here. I don't know the exchange rate, but I kind of want to, like, give her a couple gold pieces for some bread and wine.
Oh, you don't need to do that at all. We're fine. We've got more than enough money here. We do sell our goods to... We used to sell our goods to Neverwinter, and they haven't come back in a little while, but, I mean, at one point, the king of Neverwinter, like, gave us so much money, so we're totally fine.
Well, is there anything I can do? Any tall shelves you need anything off of?
Well, I guess we could go into the pantry and stuff like that. We do need to get some mushrooms out of storage there.
Yeah, the Holgo and Mervin should just help them get a box off the tall shelf or something. Yeah,
and you guys do that.
Yeah, and let's get some bread and wine and hit the road. And then by hit the road, I mean...
Continue
on to the mechanical place if we can find it.
And so in...
Joybell, my dove, where can we find that mechanical spot?
So you guys really just kind of have to go right across the bridge, and then you should be able to find the Well, I guess you should be able to find the inventor shop. You make sure that you talk to Fibblestib or Dabbledob in the workshop, because they'll probably know more about what's going on than we do, really.
Where are we?
You guys are just, you guys kind of just left the pantry area.
Yeah, no, we gotta cross that bridge, right?
Yep. You guys see the that there are also some crossbows, these auto-loading crossbows that have been built into the side of the mountain. So you can see kind of that there's you can see outside now from mm-hmm. where this next room is. You just walked down a hall or whatever to get to this room.
I gotcha.
And you can see back out, kind of overlooking the little pool of water mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And there's these big kind of crossbows in here. And you see...
Is Joybell still guiding us?
Joybell is not. She okay. is still in the...
gotcha.
She's still in there. And you see a little rock gnome sitting kind of in this ballista, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Factore. Her name is Factory. My apologies. And you guys are going to have to... What's your AC?
Well, I need you to know, first of all, at level 4 we get feats, and Ellerin has the alert feat.
Okay.
So she can't be surprised, and no one has advantage when... And nobody has advantage, basically, on her for surprising her. So I don't know if you rolled to hit us.
I did roll to hit you.
So guys, just know that if you rolled with advantage, that advantage does not...
I did not roll with advantage.
Okay.
What's your AC?
14 for Ella, 15 for Merv.
Okay. I'm going to make 2 more attacks. Sorry. I only rolled 1. And she hits 2 of you guys for 5 piercing damage. She hits... she hits... Wait, what was L's?
14.
14 and Merv's?
15.
15, okay. Yeah, hits both... hits Holgo and Merv.
She doesn't hit Ellerin? Because of the...
Just because of the roll.
The advantage thing? Or wait.
No, just because of the...
But Mervin has... Ellerin has the lowest AC.
Yes, but I rolled a 18, a 19, and a... Oh, you rolled to hit
each of us individually.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank
yes,
you.
She had readied 3 actions for kind of... I mean, that's not how it exactly works, but like...
Yeah,
it shot 3 at a time.
But yeah, she didn't just roll 1 that spread 3 ways.
Right, exactly.
She's rolled 3 times. Okay, so what's the 5 damage you said?
Yes, 5 damage.
Okay.
So
I would like...
Now we all have to roll initiative.
Jesus. Crisp.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We are going to be back next week with another thrilling episode of Icespire Peak. If you enjoyed this one, why don't you tell a friend about us? That would really help us get the word out and allow us to make more episodes. You can follow the show over on Instagram at clickbaitcauldrons, and no spaces. We are going to be posting some highlights of different episodes on there, so be on the lookout for that. If you'd like to follow me, I'm on all social media at mlcoat13. And if you want to follow Bryn, head on over to her TikTok, which is at Bryn Jones, and the rest of her social accounts are linked on there. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.